Monday. It will be over at St. Thomas Church. And registration forms, though, are due today. So if you've got some kids that will come to Bible school, get a registration form in. Today, we're going to have a noisy offering. I forget what this came for.
Water heater.
Oh, water heater, okay. We have a noisy offering going today, so check out your purse and anything else to make some noise. Come to the end. The giving records for the second quarter are on the table out in the narthex, and you pick up your statement to show what you've given in the past quarter. Pick it up and look at it. It might surprise you. You either gave too much or you didn't give enough. And of course, since we're having our usual financial problems, we hope it says you don't give enough and increase your giving. So anyway, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Now, how many can look around you and think of somebody that should be here? And maybe between now and next Sunday, get on that phone. We don't see you both visiting any longer. But how about if you get on the phone and call and say, hey, I didn't see you in church Sunday. So we can use a little help in that direction. Oh, yeah, the flowers. That was the other thing I wanted to say. This past Thursday afternoon, Chris Felke came and made the Mary Martha Circle a program on putting together flowers for decoration in your home or for go someplace. This one that's on the organ is what they would put together now for a small bouquet or a funeral piece. Not small in money, I can tell you that. But anyway, but it doesn't take as many flowers. But there's this one on the piano, and then there's two out in the hallway in the narthex that he put together for us, and so we thought we'd share them with everybody today because they were so pretty. And oh my, he does it so easy. I put that together like that, and it would look like they put it together. So wouldn't be anything I would show off at church. So here come some of our melody makers coming in to sing with us this morning. And are we ready to? No, we're 5 minutes early yet.
Do you know any good jokes?
Good jokes? Do you know I don't remember a joke right now?
Okay, I've got a good joke I was told, so I think it was
good.
I thought I was using my theater voice. I was. So there was this couple that was going to get married. And before they actually got to the ceremony, they had a terrible car crash and they died. And so when they met Peter at the pearly gates, which that's not in the Bible, but, you know, it's fun to say. When they met Peter at the pearly gates, they said, St. Peter, we were going to get married and we got into a car crash and we died, but we would still like to get married. And Peter said, huh, let me get back to you on that. And then a month went by. And another month, and another month. Finally, the fourth month, St. Peter says, I've got good news for you. You can get married. And they're like, oh, good, that's wonderful. But we have been talking about this, and we're like, you know, eternity's a long time. So what happens if it doesn't work out? And St. Peter looked at him and said, it took me 4 months to find a minister. Now you want me to find a lawyer? That's what I got.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't just leave. Amy, that was a beautiful song. Now I'm going to go. No, I didn't do that. I wanted to catch Bob before he walked away. We had an incredible thing happen this weekend, and I'm suddenly asking Bob to say a word about it because he was up here. If you, just a word.
Well, we were up here Thursday night for a meeting, and Pastor had gotten a call about a Hindu man that is walking across the country for peace. He's praying for peace. And he left January 1st from Pasadena, California, and he's on his way to New York City. And he wasn't asking for anything, but different people and places and churches have helped him find lodging. He hasn't always had lodging. And so a group that was here just put together money and put him up at the Super 8 Motel in Plymouth on Friday evening. And so he at least had a night and a bed and everything. And then I went out and met him yesterday morning early. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I know he was a nice person on the phone. He was a very nice person in person. He is praying for inner peace and world peace and everything in between. And he had been very successful in a high-tech business and had lots of worldly goods, he said. He was working a lot of hours, but he didn't find meaning in all that. And he ended up forsaking all his worldly goods and is devoting his life to prayer and peace. So he said people along the way have been nice to him all the way from Pasadena to here. Truckers especially, he said, are receptive. And because he's wearing a large orange T-shirt with white letters, walking across the country praying for peace. And he says a lot of truckers will honk to him, but people all along the way have just given him water. He's never gone more than 2 hours out on the road without a bottle of water in his hand, he said. Just people have been responsive, and he's never asked. He didn't ask us for anything, and he was just very grateful. And so I was impressed. He's a very intelligent man, and that was just an experience that out of the blue that none of us knew was coming. But I thought it was neat that his life is devoted to prayer. I asked him what he's going to do after he's done. He's on his way to New York City. He'll be at a gathering there. He has been asked to run a soup kitchen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He said that's what he's going to do after he gets done. But it was interesting and unexpected and inspirational, the faith that he has to walk across through the desert, through the mountains, through Indiana, and on his way. So we just wanted to share that experience and that what happened there.
One of the things that I often pray for is that God will bring to us, so, and that we would have the resources to give. And I felt like that was exactly what happened. Such an unexpected opportunity to give. And we, in our the small group of people that met, had the resources to meet his need, and we did it. And it was a joy to be able to do that. But I thought it would be important to share that with you, because we don't always know how each of us meets a need that gets suddenly presented to us. And I think we need to hear more of those testimonies. Did you have more you wanted to?
I just thought it was an act of faith on the others in the group that gave money, because none of us knew this person, ever met, never heard of any of this. So I just thought it was an act of faith on the others that put money forward to do this for this gentleman, sight unseen.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, so he stopped in Hamlet first, and Grace put him up in Hamlet, and then he stopped here in Plymouth, and then he went on his way to Warsaw. We tried to find him somebody that we could connect him with in Warsaw, but it was Saturday, and we didn't know he was. He kind of makes his decisions depending on how far he can walk. So we didn't know, and Saturday was a hard day to get in touch with anybody, so I'm assuming he slept outside on Saturday. But we've got his phone number, and we'll keep in touch with him via text for a while to see if we can help connect him with people. So that is one of the ways that I'm welcoming you here today to this time of worship, with a testimony. Another testimony that I have is from Anna and Ron Lichty. They just want to thank everybody for the cards that they have received, especially those who have remembered that his birthday's today. Did anybody, you all know that his birthday is today? So I don't know if we can, I'm going to turn these boundary mics around like this, and I'm going to, on the count of three, ask you to say happy birthday, Ron. But first I got to turn the mics so that Matt can pick you up. So on the count of three, happy birthday, Ron. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Ron. Thank you very much. Well done. Well done. We're pleased to be able to do that little bit. Ron has had some ups and downs, and we're praying for more ups, because he's almost very close to coming back to Plymouth. So there's that, and I want to welcome the Melody Makers here to this wonderful opportunity to hear you guys during our worship service. Thank you all for coming. And thank you for coming. Those of you who are in the building, those of you who are listening online, now is the time that we draw near to God with all of who we are, loving the Lord our God with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, and our strength. And let's begin with a song. Please rise as you are able. No, wait. Yes. Yes. Please rise as you are able in body and heart. I'm like, choral introit? No. 587, all praise to our redeeming Lord. Number 102, there's something about that name. Let's sing it as a prayer together. let us call ourselves to worship. No matter who you are, you are welcome here. Gathering spirit to spirit, come, let us worship. And let us confess together. There is none like you, O God. You are perfect and holy. In your hands is our breath and our life. The whole world is in your keeping. There is none like you. We come before you humbly and gently. You already know our hearts. When we have honored you, when we have failed, in your abundant mercy, forgive us. In your abundant grace, free us. In your abundant wisdom, teach us your ways. We turn to you and return again. Blessed is your name forever. Today, when I think about this abundance of God, I know this might seem a little unconventional, but I'm thinking about it in terms of a huge blanket. One of those really comfortable blankets that when the day has been really hard, you wrap yourself up in it. God's abundance, it's not one of those little blankets that you try to tuck in and make sure that your toe is covered and stuff. This is one of those big, abundant blankets. That's God's love, and that's God's grace. And as God swaddles you up in this blanket of love and grace, God says, I already know. I know what's happened. I know that you did some stuff or didn't do some stuff. I know. I know that you didn't say something, or by golly, I know you said something. I know. I know that you thought something or didn't think something. But I'm right here with the blanket. Just come to me. Let me swaddle you up and keep you so that you can feel my grace and love and begin again. So let us yield to the Spirit in that way. Let us yield to that grace and that love and be filled with transformation power so that we can have the strength to start anew. Here it comes up.
Greatest of odds. The following words were inspired. inscribed on the walls of a cellar in Cologne, Germany, where Jews were hiding from the Nazis during World War II. Hope was all they had to hold on to. Hope was their only bridge to a brighter tomorrow.
Pianist. That is a beautiful song, and I'm going to ask you to go sit down for just a second, all right? I'm going to say a few words, and then I'm going to call the kids up. You can sit right here. Do you want to sit here while I call the kids up? The kids can come up while I yammer on. This song is pretty profound, I think. in many ways. As a young child, for me, I read the books of Corrie Ten Boom. I read the books of Corrie Ten Boom, and they are about a German Christian who hid Nazis and the faith that she had to have. So we're going to talk about faith and prayer and hope. But this song here, if you could, I don't know how much of the words, you're going to sit on. I know you are being good. I know. Sit here. Yep. You're either going to sit here or you're going to sit back, Mom. You got one of two choices, okay? Okay. So you're going to sit there for now. Anyway, last night was something called a supermoon. Has anybody here heard of a supermoon? The supermoon, we're going to talk about the supermoon right now. A supermoon is a full moon. Nope, you're going to sit right here, and Pam's going to move that, or Amy's going to move that chair, or sit right there. Awesome. Thank you. That's perfect. A supermoon is a full moon. All right, one. Thank you very much. A supermoon is a full moon. That's very, very close to the Earth, so it looks super big. Last night, did anybody here see the moon? You saw it? That's great. I couldn't see it because it was covered by clouds. And I thought to myself, the clouds are covering the moon, but does that make the power of the moon, hold on just a moment, does that make the power of the moon any less strong? Just because, it doesn't. And it's just like, that was funny, Deacon. And it's just like God. Sometimes, we can't see God. Sometimes, like in the song, we can't see the sunshine, but we know the sun is there. Sometimes, we can't always get in touch with how close God is. Maybe the clouds are covering. Maybe not real clouds. Maybe your own kind of cloud. But does that mean that the power of God is any less strong? No. Do you think so? Is it less strong because we can't feel it? No. It's still just as strong, so we can know that God is there. We can know that God is there. We're going to... Are you ready? One.
I'll play Star Wars.
Two. So we're going to pray, remembering that no matter how it feels like God is hid, God is actually very close to us, and God is always powerful in our lives. Let's stand up and pray. We're going to stand up and pray. Oops. Got tangled up, didn't I? Oh, God. You are so wonderful and always very near. Whether the clouds cover or whether the sun is hard to see, we know you are close. Help us to remember always how strong you are. We love you, God.
We love you, God.
And we know that you love us.
And we know that you love us.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job, everybody. Good job. Oh, the offering. Anybody who needs to leave can. This noisy offering is for For the water heater. We raised $300 and some last time. It cost us $1,300, so if you've got something noisy or not so noisy that you want to offer, that would be fantabulous. And if you want to play some music, Matt, while they do this, that'd be great.
In this time of desperation, doubt and fear. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems.
Shake your buckets. No, come back over here. Shake your buckets. Good job. And now let's pray. Let's pray. God, thank you for the God, thank you for the water heater that we were able to buy. We bless this money and ask that you would bless it so that we could continue to have warm water in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all right. God will find a way. Let's put them all right here. I'm nothing if not quick, huh? Let's put the bucket down here. Oh, no, put the money in here, too. Yeah, sorry. Oops. Ow, ow, ow. Well, there's only so much control I have. Hello. Our biblical witness today is Luke 6. 12 through 16. Excuse me. Now, during those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples, chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Concise little snippet of scripture. Jesus went to a mountain in those days and prayed. He was giving a lot. He was healing, he was talking to people, he was teaching. And there were times he just had to get away to pray. And in some places it says he went to a lonely place or an isolated place, a mountain. But he spent time building his relationship with the one he called Abba, with the one who is God. Really important to notice the times that Jesus did this. Because he could have gauged everything on how much he did. But he spent time building relationship. Now, the fact that Jesus had a task to do probably made those prayers a little bit more intense this time. He needed a group of people, a small group of people that he could absolutely count on through thick and through thin. Who would they be? Who were the right 12 people? And when he came down from the mountain in the morning, he knew which were the right 12. And it's not like there were only 12 gathered. He had lots of people there. And he counted out 12 of them that he had heard from God would be good picks to travel with him through thick and through thin. He did this through prayer. He prepared himself and he asked for guidance for this difficult task. Now, we believe he went alone. There's no indication anyone went with him. But how did he pray? We have no idea if he knelt reverently, like many of the artists depict him is doing when he prays, kneeling, looking really pious. We have no idea, though. Maybe he was standing up and just trying to reach God. Kind of like when he was at the temple and his emotions were raw. Or maybe he laid flat on his face or flat on his back. Or maybe he was curled up in a ball. Or you know what? When you pray all night, there's a lot of time to do all of that. I don't know if you have ever spent lots of time in prayer, many hours in prayer about something, but really, one position doesn't really cut it, at least for me. If any of you know the Myers-Briggs test, I'm an ENFP. And as an ENFP, that means I bounce around from one thing to another, and I can't just very piously sit for too long, maybe an hour. And then maybe I have to jump up and down or rail, stomp my feet. Or just, who knows? We're all very different in the way that we approach prayer. There are other times when he prayed with his disciples. Later in the epistles, we see the early church praying, and we've talked about that, where they all got together and prayed and the whole building shook. Remember? We had that. The whole building shook with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. So they prayed together as a community. Why? Because they had something important. They were doing things. They were ministering constantly. But Jesus was gone. And they were used to just kind of following him around. And what are we going to do next? Oh, feed these 500 people with what? Okay, we'll do it that way. And all these other ways of ministering. And then Jesus was gone. He ascended into heaven. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, now what? We'd better ask for guidance and develop our relationship with God a little bit differently. And so they got together and they prayed. We as a church have a task in front of us. It's a very important task. It's called preparing for the future. We are celebrating our past. As often as I can, I bring up the 150th. This is our 150th year. We're celebrating our past. But we have to look to the future. We have an important task. We need to pray about this. Now, we could pray for real practical things like, oh God, bring people into the church. Increase our membership. Because we would like our membership increased. And that's not altogether a bad prayer. We could also pray, oh God, we need more money. Because we're running in a deficit. Please help us. Help us find more money. There's a great scripture. One of my favorite scriptures is when one of the disciples said, I can't pay my taxes. I'm really freaking out. This is a paraphrase, by the way, not a direct quote. I can't pay my taxes. I'm really freaking out. And Jesus says, calm down, calm down. There's a fish. And so the disciple goes to the fish and takes a coin out of the fish's mouth. I've gone to Lake Maxinkuckee with no effect whatsoever. Either it's not my gift, or I just don't have the right need. I don't know. But if we all went to Lake Maxinkuckee, I'm not sure we would find a coin in any of the fish's mouths, let alone be able to just pick one up. So, yes, we need more money. Is that how we're supposed to pray? I'm not 100% sure that that's going to be our benchmark prayer. I think more people, more money, stuff like that are consequences of something else. Consequences of us praying to be prepared for the future that God has in store for us. Consequences of us praying for guidance. Consequences of us praying in such a way that we are filled and open and ready to receive what God has in store. Not a micromanaging God that makes us to be puppets and does this, and now you're going to walk 3 steps this way, and then you're going to walk 10, and then you're going to cook mushrooms. You know, not that God. But the God that guides. The God that says, I see your heart and I know your gifts as a community of faith. This would be a good way for you to exercise those gifts. Having a Hindu peace pilgrim, getting a phone call about this person and being asked to find lodging when I just happened to be walking into a deacon's meeting with a business and finance person. That was clever, God. That was very clever. Where do our gifts lie? Not just individually, but corporately, as a community. How do we know? We might have ideas like popcorn, goodness knows I do, but what if we got together to pray? There might be some here that don't see any sunshine in our future, that don't see a future for this church in any significant way. Maybe we need to write on the walls, we're not near the dire straits that they were in the concentration camp. What are we thinking? There are people in such situations now. Nigerian girls. Does anybody have an update on the Nigerian girls that were kidnapped? I have a few updates, but I hesitate to share some of them so publicly. How horrendous their lives have become right now. Some of them have escaped. Not all of them have escaped. And here we are in this beautiful building with beautiful people. And who knows, maybe the worst thing we do is gossip. Quit it, by the way, but if you, if you do that. But the kind of torture that some people endure. So we have a future to build. We have a way to have ministry, and we have a way that we can help somebody somewhere. And we have people in this church who are doing that right now, and I could point to a few, but you might already know them. It begins with prayer. Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, my house will be a house of prayer. So I'm going to ask that we have prayer for a season, once a week, right here in this very place. 1 o'clock on, what day did I say? Who was there? Tuesday? It was Tuesday, right? Not Thursday. People are thinking. It was Tuesday, right? 1 o'clock on Tuesday and 7 o'clock on Tuesday. We'll probably meet in the lounge. And we'll probably meet for an hour. But that doesn't mean you have to stay the whole hour. If you get off of work and you can come in for 15 minutes, come in for 15 minutes and sit down and pray. We'll just, it might just be me for a part of it, and that's okay. A season of prayer to guide us, to prepare us, to open ourselves up. This is what I think we need to do, to draw near, to listen to God, to feel the experience of being close to God. Now, we're not all alike in our prayer styles, and where some of us might be chattering away to God, some of us might be very still. I was in a church where there was a man who was incredibly devout, entirely faithful, strong in his understanding of his relationship with God. And while all of us, this was in the Pentecostal church, while all of us were dancing in the Lord, he was just so still. But it was a stillness that was palpable. He was somewhere else as far as I was concerned. And yet somehow he was able to be in that place with us jumping around. So we don't have to pray the same to pray together. But the thing about prayer is that it's a very intimate form of communication. Coming to church, we sit in rows. Church is still an intimate occasion, but the way that the building is constructed, we're a little bit separated from each other. We don't have to relate in the same way as if you're all sitting in a circle praying. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Be intimate with one another, with your spirit, with your bodies, being right there with your heart and with your mind. So whether you process outward or you process inward, whether you are an extrovert in your prayer or an introvert, we can all have prayer together. Prayer is one of those intimate ways where the church becomes a close community. Not a closed community, but instead we break it open and we become more available to others. It's hard to break into a group that knows each other really well and has known each other, some of us, for years and years and years. It's hard to bust into that group. Where's the in? But if we pray together and we're intimate with each other, instead of it closing us off, it opens us up because we're so secure in our love for one another that we can be vulnerable. And we'll see ways of nurturing people. We'll have things to say we never thought we would have before. We'll see things. We'll have ideas that we never would have had before. People are drawn to that kind of love. That's the kind of church I think people want to be in. Praying together, being open to the Holy Spirit to speak to us and guide us, opening ourselves up to the move of the Spirit and to those around us. We'll see more ways to be loving, to care, to have conversation, and to be welcoming. We'll also see all these opportunities for ministries and ways to create spaces right here in this building. This building's got a lot of good stuff going on. We need to have God's eyes to see how we can use these spaces for ministry. And not just the spaces in this building, but the spaces on our website, the spaces on our Facebook page. Even someone, please do something with Twitter, because people respond to that. This is the world that we're living in. People relate. Yeah, I've had some really intimate prayer time, get this, using chat. It wasn't really what I expected when I was entering into this virtual space. But the way people poured out their heart in this chat was profound to me. We live in a different world. We can have online Bible study, right? We can do all kinds of things, creating spaces in different ways. And then inviting. There's nothing better. Well, there might be a few things better. Macaroni and cheese is really good. But no, it's not better than this. I have had an experience of being in a blogging community of people that are very separated geographically. Hard to find community where they are. And I've been a part of that community. And then one time we had the opportunity to all get together and to see each other. And we said, oh my goodness, you're so-and-so. Wow, you're so-and-so. And then when it was done, we said, let's get together again. And so now we actually have face-to-face conversations sometimes with people that I would never have thought that I would have engaged with. If we engage with people the way they need to be engaged with right now, they'll want to have face-to-face conversation. But we have to be open. We have to work within the gifts that God has given us, and we'll know those gifts when we pray. I'm not asking all night. I'm saying 1 o'clock on Tuesday and 7 o'clock on Tuesday, you know, so whatever works with your schedule. If we want to pray all night, you'll have to get in touch with me, because we'll have to order some kind of Chinese or something, because I'm not so spiritual that I can fast for quite that long. Maybe we can get there. I'm open to it. But right now, I'm not right there. There are not very many standards in the Bible, I don't think. I think there's just a few. And a cornerstone standard is prayer. How you pray? There's no standard for that. There are examples in the Bible, praying every which way. But prayer itself, being in relationship with God, being in relationship with God in community, that's a standard that I think is really important. not negotiable. You will experience the presence of God differently, depending on who you are. But I believe you will experience the presence of God. We can have a rich and a wonderful prayer life together. So, I invite you to this awesome task of building our future. I invite you to join with me. Let's get to know each other spiritually. Pray with me if you can on Tuesdays, 1 o'clock or 7 o'clock. Or if you just say, I can't get together at those times, but I'll pray with you. I'll see you at, and we'll make a time. Pray with each other. I don't have to be there. Pray with each other because we have a glorious future ahead of ourselves. Absolutely glorious, but we need to be cracked open and let the light not just shine in, but our light shine out. And with that, I leave you peace. Rise as you are able in body or in heart, and let us sing number 441, Take Time to Be Holy. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine in the intimate moment of prayer that we have. Divine Beloved, we are grateful to be called your church and to be gathered together. We thank you for the opportunities to do ministry and the opportunities to draw close to you. There are those in our congregation who are broken in some way, physically ill, mentally struggling, emotionally having challenges, or spiritually wandering and fractured. We ask that you would release your transforming power to mend people, to help people to draw close, and that if nothing else, they feel your presence. You are the one we turn to when we are in crisis. You are the one that we go to and that we want to jump into your arms and with that blanket ready to be comforted and strengthened. And we believe even when the clouds are evident that you're there. But help us also to be that blanket for someone else. Help us to be ready, no matter who they are or where they are in life's journey, to have that blanket, abundant blanket, open, to wrap them up in love and in grace. Show us how to be our highest selves, individually and as a church. And as our highest self, and in our best spiritual intimacy, we recall the words that Jesus gave his disciples as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For those of you who have not filled out that little black book, we like to know you're here. Please sign in. And as the plates are being passed around, and you're preparing your hearts and your wallets, remember, in those plates, we definitely need your treasure, but we need your time and your talent. And most of all, thank you. Thank you for giving. Rise as you are able. Lord God, we do praise you and thank you. And we ask that you would look upon these gifts of time and talent and treasure and bless them. Multiply them like you did the loaves and the fishes so that we can be a resource where none go hungry, none go thirsty, none go lacking, and your love goes out in glory and in strength. Amen. Please join with me in song one more time as we sing I Need Thee Every Hour, number 4.
Thank you.
As we go forth from this place, remember that we are all connected with this invisible spiritual connection, whether we like it or not sometimes. You've got people who love you and care about you and who want to be in your corner. And there are people that want to be connected that way. So go forth remembering that God will guide you. Go forth being strong to be vulnerable. Go forth in the love of God. And before I end this, I'm just going to say, as we sing our commissioning song, as you feel comfortable, if you wouldn't mind reaching out your hand to someone and being intimate and singing together, I bid you go in peace.